6:51. I want to get to what's happening on Saturday. Saturday marks Donald Trump's first 100 days as president. Debbie Georgiadis is here, political strategist at AmericaCanWeTalk.org. Debbie, great to have you on WILS.
Mike, thanks for having me on. Hello.
Those that are criticizing him, saying, look, everything he's attempted has either been knocked down by the court or hasn't gone through with Congress. What do you feel? How productive has the first 100 days really been?
You know, I actually give President Trump a pretty good grade. I guess I haven't decided on a number yet, but he's has through his executive orders and through things that he can control, he has really followed through on much of what he said he would do. He's dealing with the reality that in Washington, you know, he has to deal with first, you know, the Democrats, first Republicans who aren't as friendly to him in the House and the Senate. So he's got to deal with them. So I think he's been, I would give him high marks for committed to the agenda he set and spoke about during his campaign. And he's trying to implement it through regulations, and then he's got to deal with Congress, and that's been a big project. I mean, obviously, the biggest failure is that we haven't gotten the full repeal of Obamacare, which I think many conservatives were hoping for and thought might happen.
Well, we saw the Freedom Caucus saying they would agree to this, you know, a potential review, a potential, you know, second vote on it, if it has that, what, the MacArthur provision, I believe it's called, the amendment.
Yep, yes.
Well, first of all, do you think we'll see that happening? Are they going to go back and do that?
I think they will. I think that the Republicans really all feel like both houses, that it's one thing the party has stood by and they ran on and they got donations based on a promise to repeal. Mm-hmm. This is not even honestly close to full repeal, but it's much better than the bill originally that Speaker Ryan put out as the GOP repeal effort. The downside of this is I think they will put it through. I think the Senate Democrats will fight it, and the Senate Republicans will try very hard to bring even more conservative provisions to it. But at the end of the day, I think they'll come up with something, and President Trump will sign it. And the reason I'm disappointed about that is I think it's such a hot potato that they can put a check mark next to repeal Obamacare, and it, they won't want to touch it again. And it really needs to be further chipped away at.
His approval rating at 37%, according to Gallup, is that something that he should be concerned about?
You know, I don't think so. I think these things go up and down. I thought it was most interesting last week, the Washington Post ran a poll, and hidden, and I think it was the second to last paragraph, they pointed out two things, that Trump's voters are happy with him. He's really maintaining, I don't have the number in front of me, but he's really maintained a very solid approval rating by his voters, and that even today in a Washington Post poll, even today people asked, now that you know what you know, would you vote for Trump over Clinton? And Trump would have beat Clinton 43-40%. So I think actually, despite the media criticism and the Democrats trying to really criticize everything he's doing, the American public mostly wants the things that Donald Trump is trying to do.
When it came to the health care, and we'll see what happens with taxes, is it, do you believe it's the Republicans in Congress that aren't working with him, or is he not approaching these pieces of legislation correctly?
Yeah. You know, I think that mostly stems from is that Donald Trump is not really an ideological person. He's not really conservative, and even he wouldn't say he's populist. He just sees certain things as good ideas and tries to do them. So I think on that particular issue of Obamacare, I don't think that President Trump knew exactly what he wanted to happen. He just knew people weren't happy and premiums are too high, and he wanted someone to fix that. And I think he placed his faith, because Speaker Ryan held the title of Speaker of the House, placed his faith in him and thought that what Paul Ryan could come up with was probably going to be palatable to the broad swath of Republicans in the U.S. House.
And it was.
And as it turned out, it was not.
So what do you think we're going to see him adapting from what he's learning, or is this just something we're going to see over and over again?
I do think he's adapting. He's ended up meeting with the House Freedom Caucus people now, President Trump has, and started to actually listen to what they're saying, their problem is, why they weren't happy with Ryan Care. So he doesn't want to be a policy guy. He doesn't want to get into policy depths. But he's hearing, I think, what the Freedom Caucus is saying, and he doesn't want this kind of embarrassing thing to happen on the next range of issues and the next big issue. So I think he's starting to have a deeper appreciation for even within the Republican Party, the breadth of viewpoints, that there are conservatives who are really going to hold strong. And I think it's also dawning on President Trump, the conservative voters that put him in office, they like the Freedom Caucus type thinking. They like the conservatism. So, I mean, he's a political guy. I think he's going to fathom that, and he's going to start dealing with more of the Republicans in the House. I think he is learning. Yes, I do.
Political strategist Debbie Georgiadis here on WILS. So you said he's not really a policy guy and he's not really ideological. Is that, is that a good thing for the president to be that way?
Oh, I don't think so. I think that it's like an unanchored boat or something pushed around by the waves in different directions. And I think it's not a good thing. I think it's one of the things during the primary that some people who support other candidates would say is, you know, I don't know where Donald Trump stands because he's made statements in favor of the Canadian healthcare system sounding good. Maybe we should just have some system here that, I mean, he's not tethered in political ideology, and it does make him a little bit too vulnerable to the last person to talk to him or the most vocal.
And you've got a spokesman, Sean Spicer. What do you think? Is he hurting, helping? What's Spicer up to?
Yeah, I wonder about that. I wasn't excited about that choice when it was first made. I think that, you know, he has Reince Priebus in there who's really able to tell Donald Trump, here's what kind of establishment Republicans want. So I think it's good to have that voice, and I think that that is provided by Reince Priebus. I wish he had, my deepest concern about Trump is that I don't know who around him on a regular daily basis is telling him what conservatives think. It's certainly not his daughter, Ivanka, who shouldn't be in the White House, or Jared Kushner. He doesn't have, his close allies are too liberal, and they're not aligned with the people who put him in office.
Yeah, and we're going to see these investigations into Russia's meddling with the election. Do you believe this will end up being a major issue for the administration?
Given that the FBI and President Comey, Director Comey said this in Congress, they've been investigating their Russian connection since July. And other than a bunch of, you know, meaningless connections like so-and-so who knows Trump had a deal over there, they have found no wrongdoing. So I think that at the core, there's not going to be any finding along the lines of that somehow the Trump administration actually helped the Russians hack the Democrats. I don't think July, I doubt it.
Yeah.
But I think the media and the Democrats think they have something that keeps the American public nervous and suspicious, and they're not going to drop it.
Yeah, less than a minute. Now, I just saw a story that Rachel Maddow is actually winning the ratings war right now that Bill O'Reilly's gone. Do you ever watch MSNBC?
I do spy on the enemy sometimes, yes. No, I do. I sometimes go listen to some of those shows. And, you know, this is really a sad commentary in America. It's a very divided America. If you listen to MSNBC, you think the Russians, you know, and Trump helped the Russians, him win, there was some really serious and sinister collusion, and there's just no evidence of that. But people who listen to Rachel Maddow think there is. And then on the other hand, you have people who are unaware that the actual concern we should all be having is not about whether or not Trump, was involved with the Russians before the election. They should be concerned with the previous administration having surveilled Trump and his people, apparently using our national security.
Well, that's not in the news. And ultimately, we'll see if the big networks can really influence people, or if they're just tired of it. Debbie Georgiadis, political strategist Debbie Georgiadis, AmericaCanWeTalk.org. That's where you can find her. Debbie, great to have you. Enjoy it.
Mike, thanks for having me. Great talking to you.
Let's talk again, and we're back tomorrow. Good night.